Blog Talk Radio.
Israel, Israel, I dwell within your walls. Israel, Israel, I will return to thee. Israel, Israel, I will be your God.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When I say praise the Lord, allow your spirit to praise the Lord. For the Lord said, Israel, I shall return to thee. That was a promise. That is a promise. For the Lord is saying, I shall return to thee. I'm going to give you a few more minutes of that, and I will be right back. God bless everyone. I'm back. I am back. This is Pastor Teresa Dockson. Again, hold on to God's promises because they do not change. I don't care what you go through, but just know that God is an unchanging God. Amen. The weather may change, the days may change, the minute may change, the hours may change, the seconds may change, people may change. But guess what? We have an unchanging God that we can hold on to, that we can always expect to be the same. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to welcome everyone to Kingdom Builders Development Institute, where we are blessed to be a blessing. Praise the Lord. I want to bless your day through the word of God, because God is an unchanging God. That's what I want you to hold on to. God is an unchanging God. He changes not. That's what he said. I change not. Amen. Amen. I want to lift up a word of prayer for the line, and even for the Lord has said to me, the soul of America. Amen. After watching that debate last night, there's a burning desire in my spirit to lift up a word of prayer for leadership. Hallelujah. For the people in leadership all across this nation, all across this world. Amen. So I want to make some declarations. I want to decree some things. You know, sometimes we pray, but then we have to get to a point where we began to decree a thing. The Bible says when the king decreed something, hallelujah, it was like the Ten Commandments. It was the spoken word that was written and became law. But we come to you, Father. We come before heaven and earth, and we decree that America is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything about America, Father, belongs to you. So today we decree that it is so, and you said that if we decree a thing, so shall it be established. You said that if we agree as touching anything, that it shall be done as our Father has decreed it in heaven. So we agree with your kingdom. We agree that your kingdom shall come, and you will, it shall be done in America as it is in heaven. So we decree that all corrupt systems and structures line up with your will. And we agree that hell is under our feet. All of his plans and everything about the enemy, the blood of Jesus has it under our feet. So we say that Jesus is Lord in America and that your angels, Lord, are encamped around her in the name of Jesus. And we say that the government shall rest upon his shoulder, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. We decree the word in the name of Jesus. We decree that whatever the sole of our feet shall shred upon the kingdom of darkness, that we take authority and we rule. You said that we shall ask for the heathens of, or for the inheritance, and that we shall stand in the gap and stand proxy for your people. So right now we stand proxy for your leadership, Lord God. We stand proxy for your laborers, Lord God. We stand proxy for the people of America, Father. And Father, we give you glory because we understand, Lord God, whatever we do, Lord God, Father, that you hear and you answer our prayers. So we bind up every demonic plan, every lie, all discord, all disruption, all devastating demonic agendas in Jesus' name. And we ask you, Lord, that you will remove any systems, any persons, any group that's not in agreement with your will for your people. We decree it to be so, and we stand in proxy that it's already done. We plead the blood of Jesus over America, which is under God, all of the nation. And we thank you that your word shall come to pass. We ask these blessings in the name of Jesus, that thou kingdom come and thou will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we declare to be so. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. For we believe that what we speak, hallelujah, that it will come to pass. Amen. It will come to pass. So we just say thank you, Father, for your prevailing truth in Jesus' name. So, Father, I just ask you that you would cause everything that's even in me to be subjected to your authority. And, Father, as it encapsulates to your people, that we would all be subjected to what you're doing right now in this realm, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, I'm going to ask you if you would please get your Bibles out and that you would begin to search the scriptures with me. I'm telling you something about actually opening up the Word of God. If there's something about being hungry for more of God, there's something about getting closer to God. There's something about understanding that change starts with you. Amen. We can see problems. We can point out problems. We can identify issues. We can tell what's wrong, and we can tell what's right. But it's so very difficult to tell when we're wrong. it's so very difficult to see when we're the problem. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to be talking about identity in Christ, that we are literally representatives of Christ, that we can't live however we want to live. We can't do what we want to do, that we are sold out for the things of the kingdom. Amen. I just heard, make it plain. Let's talk about it. You know, the Holy Spirit has revealed some things to us about the Father's purpose and intentions for his people through the scripture. Amen. What does God say about this thing? What does God say about your life? What does God say about your identity? Amen. If you have your Bibles out, I'm going to give you a few scriptures, and just look at yourself and see how fast you can get to these scriptures. You know, we've been opening up the Word, some of us all our life, some of us part of our life, and even some of my listeners are new to the Word of God. But I'm going to give you some scriptures to turn to, and I just pray that you're able to find them, amen, that you don't have to go to the index. But if you do, it's okay, it's okay. But I ask this question to you. As you turn to John 1 and 12, hallelujah, I ask this question. And those that don't have their Bible out, shame on you. Shame on you. Get your Bibles. It's okay. You know, it's okay. Get your Bibles. You know, you may have your Kindle. You can turn to it quick, but I want to encourage you today to get your Bibles and get your notebook and get your ink pen. Wednesday with the Word, every Wednesday at 5 p.m., you can easily call in to our internet radio, or you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/KBDI. What is our true identity in Christ? What is it? You know, a significant portion of the New Testament, it is devoted to answering that question. But in order to fully and completely embrace our identity, we need to understand the extraordinary privileges and responsibility that is associated with our identity. And I'm going to give you some scriptures to cause your insight to be enlightened. Should I say the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. Understanding that as we are hidden behind the cross, and when we began to open our mouth, that it literally is the voice of God. Amen. So we study the Word so that we can rightfully divide the Word of God. We study the Word so that we can show ourselves approved. Amen. So I want you to turn to John 1 and 12. We're talking about our identity in Christ, which is, I talked about chapter 7 in my book on last week, and this week I'm talking about chapters, this is chapter 8. Amen. Listen, you are a child of God. If you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you said that he died on the cross, he is the Son of God, he didn't stay dead, he rose again, you literally made that confession, and you accepted him in your heart, you are a child of God. It's just that easy. It's not complex. It's not something that you have to wrestle with. You just do it. You say it. You believe it, and boom, there it is. And the Bible says, But as many as received him, to them gave he power. What kind of power? To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, you accepted him, and when you accepted him, you received him. So if I give you something, you receive it once you accept it. And then once you, just say if I gave you a $100 bill or I gave you a $20 bill. So once I gave it to you, you received it. And guess what? Now you got the power and you have the authority to spend it. And guess what? Now you have ownership of what I just gave you. Well, he gave you his power, and now you become his sons. You become his daughters. Understand that there's neither male nor female in the eyes of the Lord. This is in the spirit. We're talking about spiritual matters, not natural matters. But the spiritual matters, we're all sons. I know you may not totally understand it, but guess what? God said you become sons of God. You become my children. And then in the natural, if you're female, you are son in the spirit, but you are a daughter in the natural. I want you to get what I'm saying. And then the Bible says, even to them that believe on him and or his name. So if you believe on him, you're his son. You're his daughter. You belong to him. And those that have children, you say, that's my son. That's my daughter. You expect them to have some of your characteristics. You know, maybe your ears, your nose, your eyes, your mouth, something. Well, that's the same thing with God. He expects us to have some of our characteristics. So you are a child of God. So as we receive Jesus as Lord, it changes our relationship status with God. We become his children. He welcomes us. Literally, he welcomes us into his presence, as all loving parents would do as we welcome our children. And then not only does he welcome us, he delights in us. You know, when your children are coming to see you, and, man, you'd be, like, really happy. You'd be like, hey, you know, how you doing? How you living? We want to know how they're doing, the choices they're making. Are they living well? Because we understand, as say parents, that the world comes to eat them up, you know, to shift them, to take them, to literally take their soul. So God delights in us, and he knows what ultimately is best for us. And because he knows that, he steers us toward it with his word. That's why we have to study the word, because the word will keep you. The word will lead you. The word will guide you, because guess what? The word is the basic opportunity, the basic instruction before leaving earth. It's an opportunity to understand the heart of God. So the Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct us and steer us in knowing that we can approach him as a child approach his parents, his or her father, his or her mother. And knowing that this is your parents or your father or your mother, it gives you a sense of peace of mind. You know, you're not talking to a stranger. It gives you confidence and it gives you hope. You know, I used to tell my brothers, and especially my brothers, I would say, I'm telling mama on you. Or I'm going to tell daddy on you. Why? Because they're going to steer us in the right direction. You know, when your siblings do things or you did something, they're going to tell on you or you're going to tell on them. Why? Because we want to be steered in the right direction because of our identity. You're a child of God. Mm-hmm. So he said, I've given you power. And now when he give us something, if I give you that money or if he gave you that power, you're going to hold it in your hand? Well, most of us would be like, well, I might put it in the bank. I might let it add up. Or I might take that power or that money and I might go use it. But you're holding on to something. For the Lord chosen you as a member of God's family. And we understandably hold that position in higher standards in the way we react to others. Amen. So we can't react just any kind of way. Why? Because we are Jesus' representatives or representatives. We represent somebody. So we can't respond like we want to respond. We can't call them the N-word. We shouldn't, because guess what? He didn't do it. We shouldn't do it. Listen, we're going somewhere with this. I'm going to give you some key points, but the main thing is we're talking about identity. Identity. See, we can't embrace our identity. Why? Because we don't understand who we are. We know what we should do. We know sometimes why we should do it. We understand what's right. We understand what's wrong. Sometimes we make choices, and based on these choices we make, we have consequences because we made the choice, and now it's a consequence from our choices. But sometimes we make choices because we are not understanding who we are. Who am I? Being a minister is not who I am. It's what I do. Let's go to another point. Okay, we're still in John's 1 and 12. I want you to turn to John 15, the 15th chapter, and then verse 5. Because, see, when you have your children, you can hook them up. Amen. When you see them, you want to make sure their hair is combed. You want to make sure they're dressed properly. You know, why? Because we want them to what? Identify to our family image in the natural. Well, it's the same with God, you know, because we don't want our family looking any kind of way. We don't want them acting any kind of way. We don't want them, what, talking any kind of way. We don't want them living any kind of way. Why? Because they're representing us. They're representing our family. We're representing the family name. Amen. Sometimes we worry more about that family name than we worry about our identity in Christ. We're going somewhere. But anyway, John 15, hallelujah. Chapter 15, verse 5. Glory to God. God's trying to say something, and we're trying to hear. Amen, amen. Because we're connected together with our family. And everybody got the different gifts, but all together we're one. In the body of Christ, we're one. And the Bible says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Hallelujah. But apart from me, you can do nothing. God's trying to tell us something. So you're wondering, why can't I be productive? You know, I told a group of young people the other day as I was ministering to them, a fool and his money will soon part. Why is that? Now, the Bible said it. I'm just regurgitating. A fool and his money will soon part. So a fool won't be able to accomplish anything with his finance. Why? Because he don't have the wisdom, or she doesn't have the wisdom on how to appropriate it so that it may what? Multiply, increase, bring back a revenue. So we all have to appropriate our finances so it can give residual income so we can see the benefits of our labor. So the Bible says a fool and his money will soon part. Now let me get back over here to the scripture where I am the vine and you are the branches. So he's the vine, amen, and we're connected to the vine, right? So we have to stay connected to the vine. We have to stay connected where we're planted. We have to stay connected where God lead us. See, we are given everything that we need. Sometimes we're looking for something, but it's right there. Sometimes we're all over the place, but it's right there. Listen, this is what came to me. The fruit of the Spirit. And it don't say the fruits with the S. It said the fruit of the Spirit. What is it? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. That's a lot of stuff that he gave us. Faithfulness. God, he gave us a overload. Gentleness, self-control. It grows in our life. As an apple grow on the branches of an apple tree. Now, these are the characteristics of God. This is his character, love and peace and joy. And so these are the things that as we accept him, we have to accept the things of God. And as we nurture these things in our life, we sometimes understand that we're changing. So Jesus, he began to work within us. And as he worked within us, we produced these qualities, these characteristics. And guess what they do? He's studying power in us. Because don't you want to be around love? Don't you want to connect yourself with joy? Don't you want to be around peace? Don't you want to be around long-suffering? Mm-hmm. And kindness? And it'll rub off on you? See, it draws people to us. And as it draws people to us, guess what? We're drawing people to him. We don't just go to church. You know, you're going alone to get along, but you're not producing. Why? You think you're connected to the vine, but when you're connected to the vine, you draw others to him. And it's a flip side of the coin. You know, it's heads and tails. God has a wrath as well. Don't get it twisted. But we're talking about the other side of the coin. We're talking about drawing people because of our identity in Christ. Yes, you're going to be tried. Yes. But guess what? God made you meek. He didn't make you weak. I just added that in there, but it's so true. Sometimes people get your meekness mixed up with weakness. I still want to stay in the Word, so I'm going to take you to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 6, the 6th chapter. Please, don't be so lazy that you didn't get up and get your Bible. You know, you say you want to eat with him. God's eyes is everywhere. He's all-knowing. He can see you. He see you didn't get up and move and get that Bible. He said, go get my word. Why? So I might not sin against thee. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Let's go to 19. Let's read 19 and 20. Yes, let's read 19 and 20. And I'm reading the NIV version. I usually read King James, but for your hearing, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. And the Bible says, do you not know that your bodies are temples? Did you know that? That your body is a temple. And guess what? It's not even ours. The Bible says your body are a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to get you connected to your identity. I'm trying to explain some things so that we can understand our purpose, because we can't understand our purpose until we understand our identity. So, do you know that your body are temples? Listen, it's a temples with an S. Your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. So my body and your body, and then say, who is in you? The Holy Spirit is in you. Whew, shame the devil and make it plain. Who is in you? Whom you have received from God. So when you accepted Christ, your temple became God's. And then it became God. And guess what he did? He put his Holy Spirit in you. So since you belong to me, I'm going to put my spirit in you. Why? Because you're mine. So when something belongs to us, that's your house, right? So you put in your house what you want. You want a red couch? Get a red couch. You want a purple chair? Get a purple chair. You know, so you pick what you want in your house. Holy Spirit, God said, okay, I'm going to put what I want in that temple. I'm going to put my spirit in the temple. And then guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you some power. Because you belong to me. And then as the scripture continued to read, he said, you are not your own. Lord, have mercy. Did you know that you don't even belong to yourself? Now, them clothes in your closet, them yours. Them shoes you're wearing, those yours. You bought them, they're yours. Those earrings, that ring, all that's yours. But guess what? Your body is not yours. You can dress the body up, but on the inside, guess what? It's the Lord's. You're not your own. You, hallelujah, you were bought with a price. When Jesus died, he paid a price for that body. You belong to him. So therefore, the Bible say, honor God with your body. How do you honor God with your body? How? So you take care of that body that belongs to God. How do you take care of it? What you hear is going into your ear gate. You honor it. So that means certain things you don't even want to hear. Why? Because it's God's body. One of God's most precious gifts to his children is his Holy Spirit. And as Apostle Paul was talking about, he explained that when we choose to follow Christ, that our bodies become temples in which the Holy Spirit dwells. If the Holy Spirit not dwelling there, guess what? It's a spirit dwelling there, but it may not be the Holy Spirit, but a spirit's going to dwell there. So from within, we perform his vital works of guiding us, convicting us of sin. You know, when you do something wrong, Holy Spirit going to let you know, hey, hold up. He help us understand. And then what do? We apply God's word to the situation. And then what? We communicate through our prayers to the Heavenly Father. So we talk to him. Why? So he can talk back. So he can lead us and guide us and direct us. So when we're wrong, we messed up. So we go to him. And he said, if you confess your sin, he said, I'll be faithful and just to forgive you. So we have the opportunity to bring glory to God in a way that we care for our bodies. That's how we bring glory to him, by caring for our bodies, our temple, by taking care of ourselves. When we take care of ourselves, we are glorifying him. We're telling him, we know this body don't belong to us, so we're going to take care of it. Why should we take care of it? so that when we're teaching and preaching and talking, that we're looking good. And that we can properly put out the word of God. We're not going to overeat. We're not going to overindulge, so that we have the energy, the strength to manifest what God wants us to manifest. Amen. Whew. Glory, 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 glory. So I ask the Lord to breathe on me. Amen. I ask him to give me my portion of good health, so that when I'm going forth in the word, that he'll breathe on me. And with that, I'm going to take a slight commercial break so that you can take some time, that he'll breathe on us. Amen. Begin to ask the Lord to breathe on you. Ask him to restore you. He said, if you asked, it shall be given. He said, if you seek, Lord, have mercy, you shall find. He said, if you knock, the door shall be open. Keep applying the word. Biblical principles don't change. Amen. Amen. I have four more scriptures for you, and then we're going to release you from the line. But I want you to understand, by taking care of ourselves, we are glorifying God. Because his temple, we're carrying it around. Amen. We're the church. So when that building closed down, God want to see what you're going to do. You're the temple. We just need to understand that you're the temple. Amen. He said, forsake not to assemble yourself with the saints. You can assemble yourself with the saints in the spirit. You can connect on the phone. You know, it's good to embrace. It's good to be encouraged. But all of that comes through your ear gate. Amen. But let's go. Let's go. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Hallelujah. You are part of something. You're important. You count. You matter. You know, don't let nobody make you feel like you don't count. Sometimes the enemy might make you feel useless. You know, and especially our seniors. God has imparted so much in our seniors. And I think a lot of times we take it for granted. The wisdom, you know, the knowledge, the fortitude. They're strong soldiers. Sometimes it don't seem like it. They might feel like, oh, I can't do that anymore. But I tell you what, as long as they can open their mouth, they are powerful because of what God has imparted in their spirits. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ. What'd you say? Did you know that you're the body of Christ? You. Because he already said that you're the temple. Your body belonged to him. Now he turned around over here saying, you are the body of Christ. And each of you, each one of you is a part of it. You didn't know you were important. You didn't even know you count. Mm-hmm. See, the enemy beats up on you through situations. And you might think that you're not a part of the asset. You're not an asset. But you are a part of something important. You are a part of the equation. Everyone matters. Black Lives Matter. Everyone matters. That's the purpose. So every follower of Christ is a part of his body. And so together we can accomplish his work in the world. But divided, we fall. Individually, each member of the body of Christ play a key role in its effectiveness. So what do? We begin to look down on others. We begin to think we arrived and they haven't. We begin to think that we're better and they're not. We begin to think we're good and they're bad. Division. So the enemy capitalized on division with discord. So he bring discord so he can bring confusion, and then he can throw you off the plan of God. But because you're the body, you have to stay focused on finishing. So if one body part fall or fail to do the job, the entire body suffers. Did you know that? I'm going to give you a picture. If I'm painting a room and I say, okay, you buff the wall, make it, you know, flat. I believe that's what you call it, or sand it. And then you got another person say, well, I'm going to prime it. So they're going to put the prime, which is the first set of paint. And then the third person going to do the painting. Okay. So the one that's to do the sanding, they don't do their part. And so the primer come in, and he go to priming. And then they go to painter, and they come in and do the painting. Well, the wall hadn't been sanded. So now the priming is there and the painting is there. But guess what? The wall is not even. The job is not done properly. So we have to play our part. Everybody's part is significant. If one body part fail to do the job, the entire body suffers. Our identity in Christ, it gives us an extra incentive to complete the work that he's given us. Why? Because he gives us talents and he gives us abilities and he gives us giftings. He gives it to us so we can give it back to other people. It's not ours, but we have it to help. I'm trying to explain our identity. Amen. I'm going to give you these scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, you are a new person. You're a new person. You didn't know that? You feel the same. You look the same. You may not quite look the same. We're getting older, so everything's changing, right? But you're the same person. God don't see anything different because we're a spirit. He's a spirit. He look at our spirit man. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and and 17, I hope you're there with me. I didn't give you too many hard scriptures to find. They're right there together. The Bible says in 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creature has come. Hallelujah. The old has gone and the new is here. You're still you, but you didn't change. You know, if you ever ran across a person, and you'd be like, wow, they ain't changed a bit. Still the same. Still doing the same old thing. Just a new year, a new month, a new day. They still the same. But guess what? The Bible says you are a new person. When we assume our identity in Christ, we don't become an improved version of our old self, but we become something entirely new. Our attitude changed. Our demeanor change, our personality change. That means we no longer are tied to the mistakes of our past. We no longer have to carry guilt or shame or past offenses. We're not slaves to our old desires, our old habits. In God's eye, we are pure and spotless. You know how you like your table to be? That glass. You don't want the grandkids come over and they put their fingers everywhere. Even your children might do that. And you looking at it like, Lord, have mercy. You don't want to hurt their feelings, but you just go ahead on and wipe it up. God said you're pure and spotless. You're a new person in the eyes of God because old things have passed away and all things have become new. Glory to God. See, God got this thing already matched up, fixed up, set up for you. I got two more scriptures, and then I'm going to release you off the line. Galatians 2 and 20. We're talking about identity in Christ, chapter 8 in the book. Glory to God. Galatians 2 and 20. Amen. Glory, 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 glory. Amen. And the Bible says, you know, we're going to go through some things. Don't think because you accepted Christ, it's going to be smooth sailing. No, no, no. He has given you power to overcome those things. You just got to know you have it and you got to use it. The Bible says in verse 20, second chapter, Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. See, there you go again. He inside of you, the Holy Spirit inside of you. You didn't know you had that precious gift inside of you. You thought it was all you. You thought when you did that kind thing, it was you. Nope, it was the Holy Spirit leading, guiding, and directing you. Because guess what? I don't think we would do anything good. But anyway, the Bible says, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith as the Son of God. There go that sonship again. He loves me and gave himself for me. Take it personal. You got to make this journey a personal journey. You got to be accountable. You know, you can't keep going through the motions. You got to make a decision. Lord, I know you want to use me. You are all in when you let the Lord lead you. We're not our own. You can't do what you want to do. I keep trying to tell you. Amen. Our identity in Christ, it results from our being all in. You know, they'd be like, you're just too much. Jesus fanatic. Every time I turn around, you're talking about the word. Every time I turn around, you're trying to correct somebody. Every time I turn around, you know that the enemy will make people despise you. The enemy will make people jealous of your righteous stand. The enemy will make people think that you think you all that. The enemy will make people feel like I can't stand for you to come around because your righteous stand irritates my sin. Mm-hmm. It's not us. It's the Christ in us. So we no longer have the freedom to take back the realm of sin in our life. But guess what? We are able to stand through the good, the bad, the ugly, because of our identity in Christ, because we're all in with him. You know, you ever prayed and said, Lord, I don't know what to do. You're going to have to tell me. Won't he do it? Just won't he do it? He'll do it. God will do it. If you stand in faith, if you truly trust him, and get yourself out the way. Amen. He said, with loving kindness shall I draw thee. With loving kindness. God will show you how to do it. Now, I have to add this in there. God has a wrath. You know, don't think that he won't flip the script on you. Because he said, must you continue in sin that God's grace abound? You know, sometimes we say, oh, God, his grace and his mercy endure forever. Yes, it does. But the Bible, you have to keep on reading, because then Paul said, don't continue in sin depending on that grace, because it's going to run out. I didn't mean to be loud. I feel like I'm on the debate. You know how they was yelling at each other? Lord, have mercy. That's what my mama say. Lord, have mercy. You know, you pick up ways like your parents. You better. All right, we all in. We no longer have the freedom to do what we want to do. You're either saved or you acting like you saved. You either accept Christ or you acting like it. You know, the Bible says that he married to the backslider. But the Bible also says he'll turn you over to a reprobated mind. Even God can get sick of you. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get sick of something, just sick of it, sick of it, sick of it. God is the same way. We got it from our daddy. Amen. He'll get to the point where his grace is like, that's it. He'll take his hands off you. The last scripture I'm going to give you today. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Identity in Christ. I'm telling you, you have all that you need. We have all that we need. The Bible says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. The last one is we are Jesus' representatives. Who are you representing? You know, people see you. Have you lost your influence because of the way you're living? You know, people see you and what do they say? You know how you see certain people, you'd be like, oh. And then you see certain people, and you'd be like, oh, hey, you'd be happy to see them. What do they say when they see you? I'm talking about the saints. I'm not talking about the ain'ts. I'm not talking about the ones that's pretending. I'm talking about the ones that want to love on the things of the kingdom. Amen. And the Bible says in Colossians 3 and 12, therefore, I'm talking about you now, identity in Christ, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, with kindness, with humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, that's what you should be wearing. That's what we need to wear. I'm going to read it that's the NIV. Let me pull up this, the King James Version. You know, some of us, we just pro King James. Amen. If it ain't King James, it ain't right. Let's read. And the Bible says in the King James Version, put on therefore, the King James call us the elect of God. Come on now, embrace that in your spirit. I am the elect of God. He elected me. I won the election. Hallelujah. Okay. Holy and beloved. Bowels of mercy. That's what he wants us to have, mercy. He wants us to put on kindness and humbleness of mind. He wants us to be meek and long-suffering. Suffer long. You got to just deal with it. You know, that's suffer long. You got to just keep on going through it. You got to just deal with it. And a change will come. We have to let God do it. Let God make the change. You know, as members of God's family, we understandably, or should I say, we rightfully hold a higher standards for ourselves. in a way that when we interact with people, we need to represent God. We need to represent Jesus. So that means that we can't be doing what we want to do. You say you're saved, but you live in any kind of way. You say, oh, I'm saved. Oh, I know Jesus. The devil is a lie, because guess what he said? He said, my people who are called by my name should humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And it go on and on. But guess what? We represent him with mercy, with patience, with kindness. So we have an opportunity to give a glimpse of Christ's mercy. We have an opportunity to give a glimpse of his patience, of his kindness. So if we humbly point people to Christ with the qualities that we represent in our life, we can help others find their own identity in Christ. But in order to do that, we have to know our identity. And, you know, I was thinking about Biden when he kept saying the President Trump didn't have a plan. And he kept saying, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. Do you have a plan? Is the life you live in true? Are you dedicated to the things of the kingdom? Or is it all about you and yours? You know, going out or contributing to feed the hungry or contributing to those that's locked up physically or those that's locked up mentally. You know, are you playing your part? Step out on faith today. Do something different. Do something more. Well, you say, you know, I'm of age now. I don't have the energy for that. If you're willing and obedient, God said you'll eat the good of the land. So as a member of God's family, I want to encourage you. Be faithful to the things of God. Amen. And glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. So I won't leave this out. If you like what we're doing, we want to give you an opportunity to sow into what we're doing. You know, some people say, oh, salvation is free. Yes, it's free. But guess what? Ministry costs. Ministry costs. And as we continue to sow our treasures into the things of the kingdom, God's going to continue to sow into our lives. Good health, our family blessed. You know, things could be a whole lot worse than what they are. You can go to www.giveify.com. That's GIVEFY.com. And you can sow into Kingdom Builders Development. You can look for Teresa Docs or Elder QT Docs, or you can look for the ministry, and you'll see the many different things that we're doing. And you can just sow in the ministry, or you can give us a call at area code 313-583-9739, and you can sow that way. You can sow through PayPal, mail your seed. You can contact us, and we'll be happy to put your seed in an appropriate place. And if you choose not to, find somewhere to sow into. Sow into where you're going, amen. Amen. And I want to say to everyone, we love you from Elder QT Docs and myself and the entire Kingdom Builders Ministry. We want to send much love to you. We want to encourage you. And we want to tell you that God has favored you in spite of everything the enemy has said. Stay in God's favor. Amen. So God bless everyone. It was a delightful pleasure bringing the word of God to you. Again, this is Pastor Teresa Docs, and I'm signing out with love. God bless you all. God bless you.
This is my testimony, everybody. how God favored me in spite of my enemies. And if God did it for me, he'll do the same thing for you. Don't worry about your haters. Your haters can't do nothing with you. Listen to these words.
Love is patient, caring. Love is kind.
Love is felt most.
Love is felt most when
it's genuine.
I
had my share of love abuse. Manipulated. And its strength. And I can't help but to give God glory. When I think about my story, oh yeah, y'all, I got a story to tell.
And I know
you favored me because my enemies, they did try, but they couldn't triumph over me. Yes, they did try, but it didn't work. I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still blessed. On my way to my destiny, because the favor of God is on my life. Let me tell you about love.
Love
is patient.
Love
is kind.
Love is felt most
when it's genuine.
I had a whole lot of people in my life
who abused my love. They manipulated it
and
took the strength of it and tried to misuse it. But I can't help it. But to give God glory today,
when
I think about all I've been through,
that
I still came out on the winning side.
I
don't know about you, but I know that he favored me because my enemies, they did try. Sing it, y'all. But they couldn't triumph over me, because great is he that is in me than he that's in the world. That's what they did. That's what they did. They told a whole lot of lies. But God favored me.
My character.
My integrity.
My faith in God.
But it would not fall. Would not bend.
Won't
compromise. God favored me. I spoke life and prosperity.
I
even spoke health.
He
favored me.
They
whispered about me.
They
conspired against
me.
They told a whole lot of lies on me. But God favored
me.
My character.
My faith in God.
He favored me. It will not fall.
Not
gonna bend.
Won't
compromise.
I speak
prosperity
and
I speak
health.
They
whispered,
they
conspired,
they
told their lies.
But God
favored
me.
My character,
my integrity,
everything
was in question. But he favored
me.